You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's Rutgers for your brain.
H.L. Mencken, of government, at least in Democratic states, is named.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome into Christian Worldview this morning. This is Dr. John Coben in Greenville, South Carolina. We have 62 degrees outside. Pretty gloomy day. Going to only get up to 68 degrees, and we're expecting a lot of rain today. Should be at least a quarter inch of rain in Greenville. A lot of thunderstorm activity, so be prepared as you're making your way out today to work. A couple announcements as we begin our broadcast this morning. I want to remind everyone again about the 2005 Southern History Conference that's going to occur April 4th through 7th here in Greenville, South Carolina. It's admission is free, and you'll be able to hear five just top-notch, excellent speakers, theologians and historians, talking about Southern history, of course. The event will occur at 211 White Oak Road in Greenville, South Carolina. That's just off of North Pleasantburg Drive, not too far from the Woodlawn Memorial Park, and that's, of course, near Wade Hampton Boulevard. Some of the topics that you'll be hearing about that on that evening, starting at 7 o'clock, will be Pastor Carl Robbins talking about R.L. Dabney, the social conservative, followed by Pastor John Weaver talking about the story of the D.C. Klan, how they came about to corrupt and distort liberties. The next night, Tuesday night, you'll have Dr. Morton Smith from Greenville Theological Seminary talking about the influence of Benjamin Morgan Palmer on the Confederate cause, followed again by Pastor John Weaver talking about, or answering the question, who are the rebels? On Wednesday evening, April 6th, there will be Dr. Joseph Pipa, president of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, talking about the character of Stonewall Jackson, and he will be followed again by Pastor John Weaver, who will be talking about the Palmyra Massacre. And on Thursday, the final evening, you'll have Dr. Nick Wilborn of that same seminary talking about the life and ministry of John L. Girardo, followed by Pastor John Weaver talking about the Christian character of Robert E. Lee. So make a point to go on out and attend. The admission is free. Attend the conference, this free conference on Southern history, April 4th through 7th here in Greenville, 211 White Oak Road. If you have any other questions about the event, you can email the production staff and ask them for some more detailed information. Go to the policyofliberty.net homepage and scroll down till you find how you can support TRN, and there's a link there to send off an email to our production staff. And by the way, while I'm talking about supporting TRN, we do indeed need your support. If you can support this listener-supported broadcast, even with a small monthly contribution, or if you have some capital or some labor that you can donate to the cause, please do so. Go ahead and go to policyofliberty.net, click, check out the homepage, and send an email off to us here at the Tyranny Response Network, to this production staff in particular, and we'll be very glad to hear from you and very needing of your support. Where else do you find the kind of support that we have, or the kind of talk that we have here on the Tyranny Response Network? If you've been listening all day and listening to the great speakers that we have, the pre-recorded spots from speakers, you realize there's nothing else out there in radio land where you can hear these kinds of programs. And, of course, there's nothing like Christian Worldview, the radio talk show that tells you the truth, that helps you think better, that's not just a neocon or liberal limelight, that's not just some liberal, glossed over liberal theories being promoted on the internet or being promoted on the media, as we hear so often in talk radio on different stations. It seems like everybody out there is just a protege or a crony of George W. Bush and the Republican Party. Where do you hear strong criticism on a regular basis against this sort of thing on a talk radio format? It's right here on Christian Worldview. Happy to be able to do that and provide that for folks here, starting from Greenville, South Carolina, and spreading across the United States and, of course, around the world through our webcast. We have, by the way, a webcast, if you didn't remember that or didn't know that. If you go to policyofliberty.net, there are a number of links that I should make you aware of. Try to remind our listenership of this. On the homepage of policyofliberty.net, you can scroll down just a little ways and click a link that says live in all caps. As soon as you do that from your office or home, you will begin streaming live the Tyranny Response Network, and during 7:30 to 9 o'clock in the morning, weekdays, Eastern time, you'll be able to hear Christian Worldview today. So we'd encourage you to do so if you're not in the area. We have many listeners outside of Greenville, South Carolina, who use the internet as their means of listening to the show. We'd encourage you to do so. The phone lines still work, 864-201-6955. And email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. Also on the same homepage, you'll be able to find links for today's broadcast, yesterday's broadcast, and broadcast was 2 days ago, in case you missed the live broadcast and want to hear what's been going on. We know we have folks in California and other faraway places relative to us here who listen to those recorded shows, and we're appreciative that you do so, and we'd encourage you to send in your comments as well. Well, that's about it for advertising, except one thing I just may note. It may interest you to know that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of the show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.golftel.com/First Freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Well, so much going on in the news today. A lot of it has to do with Terri Schiavo. If you'd like to call in and talk about Terri Schiavo, we'd be happy to talk with you about it. If you want to talk about the drugs issue, we'd be happy to talk to you about that. Some people were wondering what happened to Christian Worldview yesterday. I almost forgot to mention it. We had a complete failure in our network yesterday, and we're not able to broadcast for 5 hours yesterday. We were actually off the air. So if you were wondering where we went yesterday, well, it was just a glitch in a technological glitch. The volunteer staff were here immediately. In fact, some of them broke off from their daily work duties in order to be over at the Tyranny Response Network locations to fix the problems. So at any rate, that's why we weren't here yesterday, not because we didn't want to be, but because in God's providence we had a terrible technological problem that seems to, at the time being anyway, have been resolved. Well, Terri Schiavo. Interesting that News with Views reports Terri Schiavo's doctors and the Hippocratic Oath, on Larry King Live, Michael Schiavo answered the following question. Larry King said, "Do you understand how they, Terry families, feel?" And Michael Schiavo said, "Yes, I do, but it's not about them, it's about Terry, and I've also said that in court. We don't know what Terry wanted, but this is what we want." And it's very clear that Michael Schiavo wants the death of his wife. There's no doubt about it. Also interesting that I wanted to bring up yesterday, which is very sickening, is Jesse Jackson's visit to the Schiavo Hospice. This, of course, happened on March 29th, Tuesday, Pinellas Park, Florida, and this is from Fox News. As Terri Schiavo entered her 12th day, and now it's 14th day, without food or water, Jesse Jackson paid a visit to her hospice to show his support for her parents and said her cause transcends politics and family disputes. Jackson called the treatment of the severely brain-damaged woman an injustice and said denying her a feeding tube and water was unnecessary. Well, here is our great Christian saint walking down here. I wonder if he brought any food and water with him to help nourish and take care of Terri Schiavo. Apparently, he just wanted to go and pray with her over the corpse without trying to intervene on her behalf. A real valiant man, we'll tell you. That this demagogue, he's from Greenville. I don't know if you knew that. He's from Greenville, South Carolina. He's been up here recently trying to get Martin Luther King Day reinstalled here in Greenville. Glad he's failed so far. He's just certainly, as I said, a demagogue and not to be trusted by about anyone. But at any rate, folks, if you have a comment about Jesse Jackson's influence or role down there in the Terri Schiavo case, be glad to hear about it. We've got a lot of news stories backed up from yesterday and today. We'll try to get to a number of things today that relate to the Christian worldview. The Christian worldview should be pretty clear on the Terri Schiavo case. God doesn't want us just to kill people because they can't feed themselves. And in this case, it's a very sad and painful way to watch this woman dying. There's also some other things going on behind the scenes about Michael Schiavo's involvement. Perhaps Michael Schiavo was involved with his wife's being in the conditions he's in by strangling her and doing some other things, some other weird things going on. At any rate, all these things are up for discussion here in Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Wanted to also make an announcement for another great conference that's going to go on at South Point Baptist Church and the law, in association with the law offices of Perutka and Perutka from Pasadena, Maryland. Yes, this is the same Michael Perutka that was a presidential candidate on the Constitution Party ticket. They're presenting a seminar entitled Institute on the Constitution. And it says you're cordially invited to join friends and neighbors for a wonderful opportunity to learn about American history, the underlying biblical principles on which our government is based, and the history of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution of the United States. Classes will begin on April 11th and continue every Monday evening for 12 weeks. Each class will feature an informative 30-minute video lecture by constitutional attorney and professor Dr. John Eidsmo of Faulkner University. Don't miss this opportunity to learn how America can recover its lost freedoms and the legacy of liberty our founding fathers fought to preserve. Call Pastor Tony Romo at 269-1443 for info or to register. That's Pastor Tony Romo, 269-1443 for info or to register. Interesting that they're going to be sponsoring Dr. John Eidsmo, since he's renowned, as far as I can tell, in his book God and Caesar, as a divine right of kings advocate. So it should be interesting to listen to what he has to say, although I don't agree whatsoever with people on the divine right side, and knowing that from South Point they must have quite an agenda set forth for having this man come out and speak. Should be very interesting. I also want to give a plug this morning for our friends at the Times Examiner. The Times Examiner is the best newspaper in the upstate. You get the greatest columns in there from all the nationally syndicated pro-life libertarians, from Constitution Party advocates, from true conservatives. These are available to you in the Times Examiner. Right now there's a great debate going on, which thankfully I had some help in beginning, and that is the fight over the Put Parents in Charge Act. We have several people fighting about it this week. One senator or congressman from South Carolina trying to defend the bill, lamely, I might add, as well as one homeschool mother, against the likes of Juliette Kosack from the Constitution Party, as well as Dr. Al Hayford. Both of them are assailing the bill, rightfully so. They're doing a good job, and the neocons are raising up their heads in the Times Examiner this week. So be sure to pick up your copy that just came out yesterday and take a look at the debate between these two factions. Really not conservative factions, just the factions of the neocons, the liberals trying to infiltrate the conservative right or the libertarians. At any rate, you can reach the Times Examiner by phone at 864-268-0576. It's 864-268-0576. Ask for Bob Dill. The subscription is only $20 a year. This is the last day that it's $20 a year, $22 a year out of state. It'll be going up tomorrow morning to $27 out of state and $25 in state, delivered to your home every day for a year for that price. Be sure to get on the mailing list for the Times Examiner. Well, again, so many things happening in the news today. One thing we did not get a chance to talk about before, and I'm going to start reading a little bit about it, and then we're going to go to a break somewhere in the middle of it. That was on March 28th, we had Wade Hampton had his birthday. And we want to talk about the biography of Wade Hampton, as it was sent to me, a story was sent to me by one of our research staff. We have a great research staff at the Tyranny Response Network, and we appreciate all of their efforts. Wade Hampton. On the third day of battle of Gettysburg, July 3rd, 1863, Hampton led his troopers into the massive cavalry clash east of the main field of battle. Although suffering from a saber wound to the head from the previous day, Hampton's fighting this day would be no less than exemplary. At the peak of the fighting, Hampton shot three federal troopers from their horses and ran a fourth through with his sword. Seeing one of his own horsemen surrounded and battling several assailants alone, Hampton charged to the trooper's aid and knocked one federal from his saddle. Receiving another saber wound to the head with his own blood clouding his eyes, Hampton killed several more blue troopers while defending himself and his man. He cleaved the skull of one down to the chin with a solitary blow from his massive blade. Before leaving the field, Hampton would also receive severe shrapnel wound in his side. Characterizing Hampton's legend among the Federals, one Union officer admitted, with his wonderful powers of physical endurance, his alert, vigilant mind, his matchless horsemanship, no obstacle seemed to battle his audacity or thwart his purpose. At no time was this more true than on March 10th, 1865, when Hampton, now Lieutenant General since February 15th, charged into a force of 70 federal cavalrymen with only five of his own, personally killing no less than three of the 13 Northerners killed. He also captured 12 more as the others ran off, thereby demonstrating the veracity of the Northern view that he would hunt his antagonist as he would hunt big game in the forest. This celerity and audacity of his movements against the front, sometimes on the flank, then again at the rear, kept his enemies in a constant state of uncertainty and anxiety as to where and when they might expect him. The Southern loss in the engagement was listed as one horse. Interesting. We're going to continue reading about Mr. Wade Hampton, General Wade Hampton, and his ancestors, and why we've got this great big boulevard between Greenville and Spartanburg named Wade Hampton Boulevard when we get back on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we're imagining this morning the valor of Wade Hampton as he's charging against the federal army, trying to invade and attack and subdue the South, valiantly defending the rights and liberties of Americans against the aggressors. And we're reading about him, and we're honoring him this morning because most people, including me, didn't really have a clear picture of who Wade Hampton was, this person who became a lieutenant general in the Confederate Army. You got a big boulevard named after Wade Hampton for his valiant endeavors in the cavalry. Continue on with the story of his biography. Wade Hampton III was born in Charleston, South Carolina, on March 28, 1818, on Hassell Street, the eldest son of a wealthy and prominent cotton plantation owner. Raised in the aristocratic class, Hampton's family was one of the richest in the pre-war South. His privileged childhood years would be spent in the lavish family estates of Millwood and Cashiers Valley. The lavish and grandiose Millwood was known to be much of the political center of the state, as nearby Columbia, with the political and financial elite of the Palmetto State called frequently and relishing the embrace of this first family of South Carolina. His great-grandfather had migrated from Virginia and settled in Spartanburg County, South Carolina, where he, his wife, and his son Preston were killed by Indians. One son, Wade Hampton, 1752 to 1835, grandfather of Wade III, was spared since he was away from the home. He would grow up to become a revered Revolutionary War soldier in Colonel William Washington's cavalry, rising to the rank of lieutenant colonel. He particularly distinguished himself at the Battle of Eutaw Springs. That's Eutaw Springs. Owning as many as 3,000 slaves who worked the family's enormous holdings, Wade I was a member of the U.S. House of Representatives in 1795 to 97 and 1803 to 1805, and served as a major general in the War of 1812 by commanding an American army of the Canadian border. He amused amassed a huge fortune with plantations in South Carolina, Mississippi, and Louisiana. His son Wade II, known as Colonel Wade Hampton, was an officer of the Dragoons in the War of 1812. He acted as aide and inspector general on the staff of General Andrew Jackson in the Battle of New Orleans. After the British defeat, Colonel Hampton rode on horseback from the city to the capital to personally bear the news to President James Madison. Wade Hampton III, Colonel Hampton's son, received the private instruction that his family affluence afforded, getting a classical education amidst the works in his family library, the largest private collection in South Carolina. Like many Southern boys, he led an active outdoor life, hunting and riding horses. He was described as a daring and graceful horseman, often told were the adventures of taking lone trips into the woods, hunting bears with just his knife. One source claims that young Hampton killed as many as 80 bears using just a blade. In 1836, at the age of 18, Hampton graduated from South Carolina College, now the University of South Carolina at the capital city of Columbia. Since boyhood, Hampton's father groomed him to manage his family's vast real estate holdings, and he could oversee the expansion of the veritable agricultural empire that stretched into Mississippi. At college, Hampton studied law but never practiced, instead devoting himself actively to managing the family's plantations. In 1852, he was elected as a representative of the South Carolina General Assembly, then as senator from 1858 to 1861. While in the Senate, Hampton made a speech advising against the reimportation of slaves, which Horace Greeley described as a masterpiece of logic direct at the noblest sentiments of the Christian and patriot. When Wade's father died in 1858, the vast family holding and fortune passed to the new senator. At the outbreak of the Civil War, Hampton resigned both his seat and his comfortable life to enlist as a private in the Southern Army. However, the South Carolina governor insisted on a colonel's commission, which Hampton accepted. During his terms of the legislature, Hampton had taken conservative positions on the boiling issues of secession and slavery, opposing the division of the Union. He had begun to doubt the viability and morality of the slave-based Southern economy, even though he owed much of his fortune to it. However, when several Southern states passed articles of secession, Hampton was loyal to his home soil from the outset and pledged his vast fortune and services to the Confederacy. Well, I'm not going to read the rest of this great story, but this is just tremendous information, isn't it? Why don't we have this in textbooks, you know, in public schools? You ever thought about that? Why don't we ever hear about this kind of person rather than the people they tend to highlight nowadays, the feminists and the people with screwy ideas? Here is a true patriot, somebody who obviously was a man, a leader of his time, well-educated, and exemplified all that we like to think about as far as American patriotism, Wade Hampton. So when next time you're driving on Wade Hampton Boulevard, and stop by and get a Times Examiner, just turn off on Pine Knoll Road as you're going along Wade Hampton. But think about who Wade Hampton was and the legacy of his family, both in Spartanburg County and in Charleston, as well as the vast empire they amassed. Very interesting story. Think about him charging against the Yankees in defense of his country and soil and the American way of life and liberty. That was the legacy of Wade Hampton. We certainly want to appreciate him today, 2 days after his birthday. Well, we've had so many different things happening here on Christian Worldview. We've been talking about the drug war. We've been talking about Terry Schiavo. We've been talking about Social Security. Have a backlog, as a matter of fact, of all sorts of things to talk about. But I wanted to mention just a couple quick news stories before we come to the top of the hour break. One came in earlier from one of our research staff, and it says a new bill would impose 5 years in jail for slandering politicians. I kid you not. If a proposed bill passes, the people accused of slandering a political candidate in South Carolina risk criminal prosecution, a $5,000 fine, and up to 5 years in jail. Journalists would be exempt from such prosecution. Democratic State Senator Dick Elliott and North Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, introduced the bill in the state legislature, according to the Myrtle Beach Sun News. Hat tip to Rush Limbaugh, he says, for some reason. I don't know why, because Rush Limbaugh was or is the great progenitor of neocon ideas, the promoter and disseminator of the George Bush cult worship, as well as the worship of standard neocon Republicans. But at any rate, I see this is the research staff is just sending this up to me. They weren't endorsing Rush Limbaugh or George W. Bush. I understand now. Let's watch out for this law, though, this bill that's making its way through South Carolina. Want to definitely oppose that action. Virginia counties are decrying the alien bill, according to the Washington Times. Arlington and Fairfax County and Alexandria government officials say they want an exemption from a proposed state law that would prevent illegal aliens from receiving local health care benefits. Virginia Governor Mark Warner, a Democrat, has until midnight tonight to take action on the measure, which passed through both chambers of the Republican-controlled General Assembly with a veto-proof majority. The legislation also would forbid state agencies from giving benefits such as Medicaid and welfare to illegals. The measure would require that both state and local governments verify the legal presence of an immigrant before providing any non-emergency public benefits. I can't believe it, said Delegate David B. Albo, a Fairfax County Republican and sponsor of the bill. It's completely outrageous that these local governments are increasing property taxes and crying they don't have enough money, but they want to be able to give illegal aliens taxpayer-funded services. Mr. Albo vowed to make a huge stink. Very interesting that that's going on up in Virginia. Want to follow that case as well. Certainly, welfare state is an egregious and grievous thing that we should not be supporting, and the welfare state is indeed a problem everywhere in the United States, and it's knocking out emergency rooms from California to the East Coast here, knocking out doctors from being able to make a profit in hospitals because the government mandates that anybody be seen, citizen or not, without proof of insurance in emergency rooms. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've come up against a break here, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but he has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as he did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. So glad you've joined us this morning. In Greenville, it's a rather gloomy day, about 62 degrees, and we're not going to get much warmer today, only go up to 68. And those ominous clouds looming overhead are indeed about to open up and pour out a lot of rain. At least a quarter of an inch of rain is expected today, and a lot of thunderstorm activity. So be prepared as you make your way out the door for work. We're going to have a very rainy day and not too cold or anything. 68 degrees will be the high, but nevertheless need to be prepared for that. Once again, I want to remind you about this 2005 Southern History Conference, April 4th through 7th, 2005 in Greenville. It'll occur at 211 White Oak Road. That's right off of North Pleasantburg Drive at the Spanish-speaking church. There'll be great speakers there, including Pastor John Reaver, Pastor Carl Roberts, and from the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, we'll have Dr. Morton Smith, Dr. Joseph Pipa, and Dr. Nick Wilborn, all talking about biographical and historical information about the great history of the South and its leaders, and we encourage you to go. It's going to be an admission-free event, so everybody should have really no excuse not to go up there to Greenville and, or to north this part of Greenville and listen to the Southern History Conference. We will be broadcasting the tapes of these events here on the Tyranny Response Network as soon as our production staff can make them available. But by all means, if you want more information about this, go to the homepage of policyofliberty.net and click on the link to email the production staff, and they'll be happy to send you more information about the conference. Hope you can attend April 4th through 7th, Greenville, South Carolina, free admission to the Southern History Conference. Also want to encourage you to go by and get a copy of the Times Examiner. Having some great discussions this week in the Times Examiner over Put Parents in Charge. And also, my articles are interesting because I think they're interesting because I wrote them, but I have running a series of articles on Christian views on rebellion. It's a 7-part series. This week features part 2 of that series, and it will help you think better. Remember, Christian worldview, one of the primary reasons we have Christian worldview is because we believe Christians aren't thinking when they're putting people in office like George W. Bush or the common Republican squad that we often see go out there. Instead, they're being led like the like rats following the Pied Piper and will soon fall over the cliff. And so we're encouraging people to think more deeply. Well, the Times Examiner articles are an important piece in that effort, and you can either get my articles by going to the policyofliberty.net webpage and simply going to the section entitled Articles and Papers and clicking on that, scrolling down, you'll find all my articles there. In fact, you'll find many of them translated into Spanish. We have some people so far away as Costa Rica that love what the Tyranny Response Unit is writing that they voluntarily translate my articles into Spanish. So you can click on a link there and read it in Spanish if you're so inclined, or you can just pass it along to someone else who you know speaks Spanish and encourage them to read a number of things that I've written. In addition to that, there are even audio links there at the policyofliberty.net website. You'll be able to listen to me read these articles in basically unedited, you know, a little bit of bridge here and there perhaps, but generally unedited format on your PC or even on your MP3 player if you download it to an MP3 player. Anyway, all these things are available. I'd encourage you to take a listen, if you can, to the Christian Views on Rebellion. It's a 46-minute reading of the seven-part article series, and it's available at the policyofliberty.net homepage as well as the articles and paper link. Well, you can also pick them up at the Times Examiner, and the Times Examiner it can be acquired for $20 a year. This is the last day that you can get it for that price, or $22 a year if you're out of state. Call Bob or Laverle at 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. You can email them by sending a message to thetimesexaminer@myexcel.com and get in touch with them. Tomorrow the prices go up to $5, and this is an annual subscription rate. It's not a lot of money, folks, to get this great information, so we'd encourage you to do so. Today we want to talk about some rather deep questions. We want to talk about the drug policy a little bit. It's got several listeners fuming because, drugs are a sensitive issue. We're also going to talk about some biblical issues today. This is a Christian worldview show, after all. We're going to encourage you to go to the Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's radio show link, which is located very close to the bottom of the policyofliberty.net homepage. And when you go there, you'll be able to pick up these deep questions. We're going to go over them time and again here on the show, especially because we have so many new listeners joining. And we encourage your phone calls to discuss these things over the air with me, the Tyranny Response Unit. The drug issue is a tough issue for people simply because we're all, by nature, especially those of us who are Christians, opposed to drugs. Why? Because God's opposed to drugs. We don't like drug abuse. We don't like to see people harmed and damaged by taking illicit substances or illegal drugs. We don't like them to see them strung out on prescription drugs either. Any kind of abuse that leads to debauchery or a person losing his sensibilities and not glorifying God in that matter, we think is wrong. But should government be in charge of legislating against this kind of activity, controlling behavior? Is it just a matter of saving lives? Can't we say if we have a war on drugs, we'll save a few people from dying from drug overdoses and things like that, or from having a bad life? Yes, that's true, but should that be a concern for us. After all, in terms of public policy, it might be a concern personally, but in terms of public policy, making a legislative enactment, for instance, would we want, for instance, automobiles outlawed? And you say, why would we want to outlaw automobiles, Dr. Coben? Well, the reason is 40,000 people a year die from auto accidents. We could save a lot of people's lives and give people a better opportunity if we just outlawed the things. Sometimes hard cases make bad law, as the adage goes, and we don't want to necessarily outlaw things just as a matter of public policy in a proactive sense, because it may not be beneficial in general. There are other issues that come up with the whole drug policy, but the main one comes down to this. Do we want government involved in a proactive way in telling us how we should behave? I say no, we don't. Other people say, yes, we want them to be involved in a few areas. We want to force people not to be homosexuals, and we force them to not take drugs. But they stop there, and it's sort of an inconsistent way to stop on the slippery slope, because they might as well stop prostitution, gambling, and all sorts of other things we declare to be sinful, or the Bible, I should say, the Bible declares to be sinful, and especially in excess. But this is really should this really be part of public policy, or should we just be free, as the founders envisioned, and have preachers go around and try to change the preferences of people? That's my perspective. You know, we're coming up to the top of the hour break a quick break at Christian Worldview. When we get back, we want to continue this discussion and go into some of these deep questions. So the phone lines are open. Be sure to call in and give us your views, whether it be on drug use or other things like Christians and their views on rebellion or civil disobedience. Be glad to talk to you this morning on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast. But we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
In Common Sense, Thomas Paine writes, "Could we take off the dark covering of antiquity pertaining to the origin of kings and of the state and trace them to their first rise, we should find the first of them nothing better than the principal ruffian of some restless gang, whose savage manners or preeminence subtly obtained him the title of chief among plunderers, and who by increasing in power and extending his depredations overawed the quiet and defenseless to purchase their safety by frequent contributions."
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And it is indeed roughage, folks. That means it's sometimes difficult to swallow, perhaps. Sometimes it's just stuff that helps you grow, something to hang your thoughts on. Here at Christian Worldview, we are dedicated to helping you think better, think about issues that no one else wants to talk about, and help Christians develop a good public policy theology. Now, I have very strong views, strongly held views on certain issues, as many of you know. You might not have got the opinion that I'm opinionated and have strongly held views yet, but if you haven't, you're mistaken. I am very clearly defined in my thinking, and over many years of research, I might add, And I think I've arrived at my positions on public policy through deductive logic, research, a lot of the evidence that I see around me. You may have different points of view. In fact, some people at the Tyranny Response Network would differ with me on a few minor points, although I'd say 95% of the issues, all TRN staff are in great agreement. I'm talking about public policy issues. I don't know about their preferred choice of weight loss or their preferred, you know, choice of schooling necessarily. Oh, I think most of us are homeschoolers, or at least, and no one is a public schooler. I know that for a fact. But at any rate, there are small preference issues that divide the Tyranny Response Network staff. But one thing we're dedicated to is letting everybody who's so-called right-wing or true conservative or pro-life libertarian have their say. Because we believe every one of these views on the far right, as I'll call it, are valuable to listen to. Because although there are purists out there that think, well, their view is the only right view and anybody else can't be listened to, we think that is a rather foolish thing to do or endeavor to or stance to take, simply because we could be wrong. We're all sinful human beings, and we need to encourage one another. We also need to debate the issues with people who are friendly in general to our position and our way of thinking, way of lifestyle, way of living, and discuss them. Drugs are one of those issues. Immigration, or so-called illegal immigration, is another one of those issues. There's not too much debate among Tyranny Response Network folks about the IRS being abusive and evil and needing to be abolished, or the Federal Reserve System, for that matter. But there are some other minor points that people might choose to disagree with here and there. The Constitution Party platform, as well as the Libertarian Party, have been opposed to the war on drugs. And they're both in agreement on that issue. Again, we might still find some people who are not in agreement with either of those things or with either of those parties. But nevertheless, here at TRN, it's very, very common for us to be opposed to the war on drugs. And again, it's not because we're in favor of using drugs for ourselves or for other people. I don't use drugs, for instance, and I'm still opposed to the war on drugs. Well, why would we be opposed to the war on drugs? Well, because as policy, it's a bad deal. It doesn't make any sense economically. It doesn't make any sense philosophically. And all it really does is cost us a lot of rights and a lot of money. Do you realize that more than half the people in jail cells in America right now are there on account of drug crimes? Do you realize that people in schoolyards are encouraged to not be in schoolyards or not be working at local jobs, whether it be Burger King or anything else they can do, because they can make so much more money going into selling drugs? Because the price has been monopolized by making it illegal. The profits are so great that a person coming out at age 16 or 18 years old in an inner city high school can look at 10 years or 20 years at making $20,000 or $30,000 a year and compare that to the vast fortunes that he can get by selling drugs, maybe even $200,000 or $1 million, $200,000 or $1 million a year over time if they do well at selling the drugs. Well, they're willing to take a risk and go to prison, the risk of going to prison or being even killed by someone trying to knock them off in the crime syndicate, if they could at least have a shot at making that kind of money, making upfront 10 or 20 years salary in just a couple of years. And then even if they go to prison, they're still ahead. The system has created a bunch of perverse incentives. And more importantly to us, since most of us don't see people, at least the people that I hang around with, don't see people who are selling drugs or taking drugs on a daily basis, is the loss of liberty. Do you realize that without going to without going to court, without getting a search warrant, and without any appeal, if government finds some cocaine or pot on your property, even if it was sent to you FedEx that morning and opened up accidentally, so to speak, while a DEA agent happens to be tipped off that you have it, somebody sends you that stuff, they can come and take away your property, and you will indeed lose your property without appeal. That's a tremendous loss of rights, and it's not worth the cost to have the war on drugs for those reasons. Well, in addition to writing my recent book, which many of you are familiar with, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, which we'd encourage you to get a copy of, by the way. Go to the policyofliberty.net webpage and pick up a copy by going to the Alertness Books link. You can also pick up a copy of my book prior to that, which is called A Primer on Modern Themes in Free Market Economics and Policy. Very much an economics textbook for upper division course takers in college. And page 111 has a table 5.2, Costs of Drug Prohibition. The summary of the various costs of drug prohibition are as follows. There are 11 costs. 1, increases in crime. Two, there are no victims since the activity is consensual, and thus people are punished when they harm no one. Three, the creation of monopoly rents or monopoly profits that cause the distortions we talked about recently. Fourth, following Eric Schoenberg in poor policies, book Poor Policy, poor people are harmed more than others. Fifth, some regulations originated from problematic public choice phenomena, such as the Harrison Act dealing with oil from the marijuana plant and its relation to makers of hemp rope. We'll talk about that in a minute, perhaps. Sixth, violation of individual rights and privacy are a cost. Seven, the confiscation of property is a cost. If the federal government wants to increase the size of a national park and they can't get somebody to sell their land, they just put some drugs on it, then they take it away from them. This has happened in Texas and other places, folks. It's a dangerous thing. Eighth, there's a destruction of suspicious goods by customs officials in the United States. They literally tear apart pieces of art, jet airplanes, anything they want, and they do not have any obligation to pay people for the property they destroy while they're searching for drugs. Ninth, activities of the government employees at times to take advantage of available gains. So there certainly we don't put it above George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, or anyone else to make some profits themselves, indirectly or directly, off of drug trafficking. Wouldn't put it above them, folks, even though many people can't believe that. Good old George would ever think of such a thing, or Bill, for that matter. Tenth, perverse incentives, especially with the police departments, and that's a huge thing to talk about in a moment. And finally, 11th, conflicts of interest in international relationships, or international relations, I should say, and policy. We've destroyed other nations, such as Colombia, on account of our drug policies here. We're going to talk about a couple of these things when we get back, and also want to get to some of these deep questions for the radio show. I may just do question one today on if you want to go down to policy.
And with little or no savings, and, even Americans who had
go
good
ahead
income.
And scroll down to the bottom of the page, you should be able to find the deep questions for the radio show there and get a foretaste of what we'll be talking about in a minute. But you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. Had a little pause there, just getting our production on cue as best we can here at the Tyranny Response Network. Appreciate your listening today on Christian Worldview. Have a great show, great topics today for discussion. If you are scared about thinking deeply or about something differently, then be careful not to listen to Christian Worldview. If you want to be challenged, if you want to hear news that is not held by the mainstream media, and or if you just want to learn better to think about Christian theology of public policy from a liberty-minded perspective, then indeed be sure to tune in and stay tuned to Christian Worldview. We have a caller on the line. We'd like to welcome you this morning to Christian Worldview. Glad that you called. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Chuck. Good morning.
Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for calling. One of our regular callers to Christian Worldview.
Yes, I'm listening. I guess the two go together.
Yeah, they usually do. Although we do apparently have some people who call from afar, even knowing the show is on, even though they can't listen at the moment, which is interesting. They heard from a previous discussion or something and wanted to call the next day.
Good, and I thought it might be interesting to share an analysis that brought me away from thinking that the drugs should be prohibited to thinking that they should not. And that was a man who's on, he had another talk show, he's called Dean Adel. Have you heard him speak before?
I have, yes.
He's a doctor for the benefit of your audience, and he mostly talks about medical issues, but he's very anti-drug war, and his reasoning he gave is what if you think about the natural or extension of the policy, what if you put everybody in jail? You know, take it to a total police state or worse, put everybody in jail, and would you then have won the drug war? Well, there's good evidence today that you would not, because we have drugs in jails.
That's right.
So, if the extension to putting everybody in jail is intolerable, which it is, then it says to us that we are off in the wrong direction with this. It's not a winnable war.
Well, we can always kill them, I suppose. That would make sure you can't use the drugs anymore and they can't sell them. You just start shooting people that are drug users. I guess that would be a solution, but that sounds a little too tyrannical, perhaps. Maybe Hitler might like it, but it doesn't sound good for us. Well, good. Well, that's a good comment.
Right.
Great comment, Chuck. I appreciate that. I agree with you entirely. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Well, just in summary of the stuff, the other points you made, that is nowhere near worth it. If we have to give up our liberty, even if we could win the drug war, if we have to give up all these liberties to win it, it would not be worth it.
That's right.
I agree with you on that.
That's right. And the fact that we're not even close to winning it shows that it really isn't worth it, because why spend all the money and lose all the liberties and not end up getting, you know, much done whatsoever. Some people claim, oh, we're really deterring drug use. It's just not clear that's the case at all. Drugs are alive and well today, and the more dangerous drugs are now available in larger quantities, because people can't afford the monopolized price of the purer drugs like cocaine, so they go for this crack or whatever these methamphetamines are that are really addictive and really fry their brains and makes things far worse. So it's a terrible situation, and it's really fostered and promoted by the federal government.
It really is. Thank you for talking about it. Great show this morning.
Okay, thanks, Chuck. Thanks for calling. Well, there's a couple things I wanted to add about the drug war. And again, I would encourage you to pick up a copy online of A Primer in Modern Themes in Free Market Economics and Policy. This book was published a few years back, but it's available in downloadable format. I believe the cost is only $5, or maybe it's $6 online at the Alertness Books website. I encourage you to get it and take a look at this page 211 and the following pages and the preceding pages dealing with the drug problem. There's a couple things I wanted to go over just quickly on the drug issue before we get to some other questions. And again, welcome your phone calls on the issue if you're interested in talking about it. One is this Harrison Act that led to the Pure Food Act of 1910 and the outlawing or the declaring of marijuana to be an illegal drug and therefore needed to be banned. Well, what's interesting about this is looking at not only the politics but how businesses were using government policy to promote their own ends. At the expense of other competitors, obviously, and as well as the population, and how they use oftentimes public interest rationale to really promote a private agenda. That shouldn't surprise us as Christians. We realize that the sinful nature of man is such that they would do certain things like that, especially the unconverted. But here at this particular juncture in history, you remember a lot of things were happening. A lot of new inventions were going on. The internal combustion engine had been created, and it was one of the most fantastic inventions of the late 1800s and early 1900s here in America. Well, what happened was people began to realize that alternative fuels could be used to run internal combustion engines. And what happened in this specific case was Rockefeller and some other very wealthy people who were digging oil out of the ground in Pennsylvania and elsewhere were trying to promote their product all over the United States. Well, at the same time, there was an entire industry for shipping which used hemp rope. Hemp rope is made from the fibers of the marijuana plant. It's the strongest natural fiber rope you can find, so it was very widely used. There were fields and fields of pot plants effectively being grown. And, of course, as all businessmen are prone to do and entrepreneurs are prone to do, people look for alternatives to deal with the residual pieces of or waste products from the production of the fibers. If you just look at the way people deal with a cow in a butchery, you'd be amazed. Not only is the cow killed quickly, but every part of that cow is used, from the skin to the bones to the guts. Every piece is utilized. There's nothing that goes to waste because it's profitable for entrepreneurs to be in all sorts of businesses and use every piece of the cow. Well, the same thing was true with the hemp plant or the pot plant. And what they found was if the oil was extracted from the leaves and from the buds and the other parts of the plants, the oil was very combustible and could actually be used to run an internal combustion engine. This is a lot easier to grow your oil, so to speak, on the top of the ground on a renewable resource rather than drill for it. And so as soon as Rockefeller figured out that this was the case, he decided, well, we got to stop this. We don't need this kind of competition. It burns cleanly also. That's the other thing. It was a really environmentally friendly, if we can use that term. The environmentalists would love burning hemp oil rather than gasoline. At any rate, what happened was they used this Harrison Act, the Pure Food and Drug Act of 1910, to outlaw marijuana, effectively to wipe out the competition so that they didn't have to compete against it. Had nothing to do primarily, although even it said that so on the surface, with the stopping of illicit drug use and helping the public interest. What it had to do with was knocking out a competitor for the Rockefeller Empire and the production of underground fossil fuels that they were promoting. At any rate, there's a little inkling for you into the history of public policy 100 or so years ago. If you have a comment about that, welcome your comments and questions to the show. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead, make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Well, Welcome back to Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. So glad you've joined us this morning. No, we're challenging your thinking a bit. A lot of people are being seriously challenged in their thinking this morning about tough issues of the day, such as the drug war. Want to remind folks that if you're going to be getting out and ready to get on your way to work this morning, that we're going to have some pretty heavy rain today, thunderstorms, and at least a quarter inch of rain is going to fall. Drenching, soaking rain should arrive by the afternoon. It's currently about 63 degrees in Greenville. It's only going to get up to about 68 today and be pretty gloomy. So after that beautiful day yesterday and the day before, we're ending up now with a pretty gloomy towards the end of the week. Should be clearing up, though, after Saturday to another beautiful 4 or 5 days of weather here in springtime in South Carolina. Wonderful time. Well, I wanted to pick up again and talk a little bit about the drug issue. We mentioned a couple of things in this list of 11 costs, social costs of having the drug war. In my book, A Primer on Modern Themes in Free Market Economics and Policy, page 211, I encourage you to get that by going to the policyofliberty.net website and clicking on the Alertness Books link, scrolling down till you find that downloadable copy. I think it's $5 or $6. I encourage you to take a look at it. Not a book for the lighthearted, however, it's a more of an advanced tech and economic theory, but I think very helpful with a lot of practical lessons and applications for us. At any rate, one of the other problems of the drug war is the perverse incentives that it creates. This happens, and it can't be seen anywhere better than in police departments and their budgetary crunches. Remember, police departments constantly have pressure put upon them to put more and more people in jail on account of the drug war, to the point where about half of their staff are there, including the officers, to get drug dealers. Or to get drug-related convictions. About a quarter of police department staff function to write traffic tickets. And so literally, if you had no traffic rules and you had no drug war on drugs policy, you would be able to eliminate 75% of police departments. That's a pretty astounding fact in and of itself. Of course, police departments might not like that. They like having power. The people who run police departments, the part of being a bureaucrat and being successful is not just the salary that you might get. In fact, it's the power that you can get, the control you can have from having a larger department with greater budget. Well, anyway, part of the budgetary problems that face all police departments are that they're usually funded by property taxes. And people are loath to pay property taxes. In fact, one of our production staff handed me a commentary on property taxes and how grievous they are to Americans and how the local governments are trying to reap a huge tax windfall on rising real estate prices. Well, indeed, that is the case. But still, it's hard for vote-seeking politicians who are on county councils or city councils to raise property taxes and still stay in office. Well, this puts a tremendous strain on the growth-oriented police forces, people that are trying there to uphold their departmental budgets and so forth. They're always looking for new ways to get financing. Well, one way they get it is through drugs. And you say, wait a minute, Dr. Coben, how does a police department get money through drugs? Well, I want you to think about this for a minute. What happens when a police department raids a drug dealer, gets one of these massive drug busts and, you know, $15 million is confiscated or $50 million and a whole bunch of cocaine or whatever drug it is confiscated? Who gets that money? You ever thought of that? I'll tell you who gets the money. The police department gets to put it into its budget. The reason is there is no victim to return the money to in a drug-related confiscation. You don't have to say, well, I'm going to go out and find whoever bought the drugs, whoever you sold the drugs to, and we'll give them their money back. There was already in the market a consensual transaction. Nobody feels like they were a victim or were criminalized by having the drug deal. So there is no one who was stolen from, for instance. And so the police departments get to keep this money. Well, think about the perverse incentive that this creates for police departments. If they happen to be a couple of cops who work with the drug issue walking down the street in Los Angeles, and they happen to see a new drug dealer working his corner of the schoolyard or wherever it is, selling his cocaine or his pot or whatever the thing is that he's selling, they can say, oh, he's only been in business for a couple weeks now. Well, he's probably got $5,000 or $6,000. Should we go and bust him right now? Well, if they go and bust him right then, that guy will go in as a first-time offender, for instance, or some such thing, and be out in 90 days. They don't have room for him in the jails. And he'll go right back and do it again. There won't be any glory or victory morally in winning something for the public interest in this. And police officers are very frustrated about this fact.
And on top of it, the police department only gets the $5,000 or $6,000 the guy has. But if they wait for a year or 2 years and keep watching the guy, keep tabs on him, and then bust him when he's got $1 million in cash in his basement, or even $500,000 in cash, this is a real haul for the police department. They have an incentive to treat drug dealers just as a farmer would his crops. Farmers don't want to cut corn when it's only 6 inches high. They don't want to cut it when it's 16 inches high. They want to wait till it's overhead and it's got the full fruit on it. And what you have is a perverse incentive for police officers or police departments to encourage drug users or drug traffickers to grow and flourish for a while and permanently allow a supply of drugs to continue so that they can bust them when they have a lot of money and increase the departmental budget, which is so starved for tax dollars. That's a perverse incentive that happens because of the way human nature is and because of economics, folks. And this is one reason the drug war will never work. We will never stop drugs as long as these kinds of incentive structures are built in to American drug policy. So beware of those things. If you'd like to have any comments about that or any discussion about it, I encourage you to give a call to the show at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. When we come back and our phone number here, by the way, is 864-201-6955. When we come back in a minute, I want to shift gears to a biblical topic, namely the issue of self-defense. I think we're going to try to tackle this one big issue again, question one, from the questions for the Dr. Coben's radio show found on the front page of policyofliberty.net. So appreciate you listening this morning. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Do Christians have a right of self-defense? That's the deep question for today's radio show. You know, we seem to get away from our fundamental theses of different questions like this on Christian Worldview when we get so caught up with the events of the day that relate to the Christian worldview, such as the Terry Schiavo case, such as whether or not Christians should enforce morality, especially in things like a drug war policy. These are all important topics, and we don't want to belittle any of those. But we also need to get back to making sure that we develop correctly a Christian view or biblical view of public policy. And there are several different views of public policy that people take when they read the Bible, who are Orthodox and Evangelical Christians. Well, this first question, then, on the deep questions for the radio show list posted on the internet is, do Christians have a right of self-defense? If so, under what circumstances? Against criminals are also governments. This goes along with the Times Examiner series that I've been writing. That's available on the webpage, either in audio or by reading under my articles and papers link at policyofliberty.net. When do we have a right to resist the state? Now, some people would view the state as being some special ordinance of God that becomes essentially untouchable by Christians. While they will be adamant in promoting the Second Amendment rights for themselves in their homes, to be able to have a gun so that if someone intrudes their home, tries to attack them or steal their property in the middle of the night, they can open up with their .357 Magnum or anything else they happen to have in the house and shoot the guy. They'll be all in favor of that. But if the person is an elected official, especially under a democratically assumed process like we have here in America, then all bets are off. You cannot use the gun anymore. You cannot resist. Well, what do we think about that? Do Christians have a right of self-defense? Is the right a full right of self-defense? I'm going to advocate here on Christian Worldview that we do have a right of self-defense, and it doesn't stop with criminals, at least criminals outside of the political process. It's criminals inside and outside. And what is a criminal? Well, it's not just somebody who government decides is a criminal. I don't think that someone is a criminal simply because they do something the government says is wrong. Governments say that a lot of things are wrong, which really aren't wrong. Governments have, and that's historically been true, as we can go through many regimes and see that. And also, just because government says something is right doesn't make it right. They might well be criminals in the eyes of God and yet be exonerating themselves in their own eyes. A government or a state agent might condemn somebody as being a criminal who in God's sight really is not. Look at Peter and John when they preached the gospel. They were condemned, threatened. They wanted to kill them for preaching the gospel and in Acts chapter 5. And yet God was pleased with them. So it really doesn't matter what men think. Ultimately, what matters is what God thinks. Well, do Christians have a right of self-defense against people who would want to harm them? Big question. When I was first a Christian early on, I asked this question just naively, just wondering what about self-defense, and I was told, 20-something, I guess I've been a Christian for 26 years now, I was told early on, 25 years ago, that you can defend yourself against anybody unless they want to kill you for preaching the gospel. Then you need to go to the glorious martyr's grave and allow them to kill you. So all they need to do is show up at church or show up when you're preaching and kill you or threaten to kill you, and you just have to lay down your arms, fold your hands, and just whistle Dixie one more time before they shoot you dead. I don't think this view is correct. I don't know where it comes in the Bible to say that if you're preaching the gospel, you have to die a martyr's death. As a matter of fact, I see from the scriptures there seem to be a number of passages like Luke 13:14, 14:31, 22:36, the book of Luke, as well as 1 Timothy 5:8, which seem to indicate that we have a duty to self-defense. We can, if we can't defend ourselves, if they've got us in chains, we're bound, and they're going to chop our head off, then we glorify God, we thank the Lord for our lives, and we die. What else can we do? But when we have an opportunity to defend ourselves against a tyrant, whether it's a tyrant that enters our home from the mafia or from the local, just a local thug, a private thug who just wants to rob and pillage us, or from the state when it usurps its authority and does what is wrong and tries to steal from us and tries to take away our liberties, I believe we have a right to defend ourselves against them. I encourage you to look at some of those passages. We might have a chance here in a minute to look at a few of them ourselves. In what circumstances can you defend yourself? Anytime you are being plundered. Anytime your life is in danger or you are being plundered. Now, just because you have the right of self-defense under those circumstances doesn't mean you necessarily have to exercise it. Let's suppose, for instance, somebody's robbing your home and they're about to walk out the door and all they've got in their hand is a television set. You might choose to not shoot him in the back as he's going out and kill him, even though you'd have a right to do so. You might choose to let him leave. So the having the right of self-defense doesn't mean we necessarily exercise it. And the same thing is true. And why not? Well, because it may not be wise to do so. There may be other compelling reasons for not doing so. Or you might only shoot him in the leg instead of shooting him lethally. Just having the right doesn't require us to use full force. And the same thing is true with government policy. The first bad government policy shouldn't be a cause for us to run up with arms and go and attack and enter a bloody war against the state. In fact, it was Thomas Jefferson that made it very clear in the Declaration of Independence that it was for light and transient causes that we wanted to get involved with a war. War is a very horrible thing. It's a bloody thing. It's a debilitating thing. It's not something we want to be involved with in general. But there would be circumstances where we get pushed far enough where we'd say, yes, we need to go to war now. We need to fight against the tyrannical state. So self-defense, I believe, can be against common criminals, so to speak, where they come into your home, as well as government criminals. When we exercise that right depends on the circumstances and according to prudence and biblical direction, of course, after much prayer. So that's a foundational point for Christian worldview of self-defense. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the rest of this question. We'll probably get some of these Bible texts out and read some of them as well on here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And this morning we're talking about the deep question and issue of self-defense, not just self-defense against a predator that meets you in the alleyway and sticks you up and tries to mug you, but self-defense against any predator, whether they're elected officials or not. Is this okay? And we've been talking about this and making a case that it is. Well, there are some biblical passages that can be used to support the doctrine of self-defense. Remember, there's a whole group of Christians out there called pacifists, Anabaptists, or strict separationists, I guess some people call them, who don't believe there should be any self-defense at all, that Christians have no right to take up arms against anybody, period. They are conscientious objectors. They'll never join the military. They don't want anything to do with government whatsoever. There are a whole group of them. Well, I'm disagreeing with them this morning. If you hold that view, by the way, you're welcome to call in and express it here at Christian Worldview. At Luke chapter 14, verse 3, Notice that when John the Baptist was out doing his work, baptizing, it says, likewise soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. John the Baptist appears to be condoning the role and lifestyle of a soldier. He's not treating them like he would a prostitute, telling them, repent, stop being a prostitute. It's not good for you, and it's not right. It doesn't glorify God, and God hates it, and you need to stop being a prostitute. He's telling them instead, be content with what you get when wages. Don't intimidate people and accuse falsely. So it seems to be condoning or allowing for a person to be a soldier. Of course, we wouldn't necessarily look at that as a proactive call to allow the soldier to do anything he wants. But as far as defending people, it seems like it's an okay thing. So self-defense could be supported from that passage. Luke chapter 14, verse 31 says, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first to consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? So here Jesus Christ is talking about warfare, and he's not putting either a negative or positive spin on it, just naming it as a fact of life, that there is that warfare does exist, and he has to be prudent about how he wages and conducts his warfare. In and of itself, I don't think it's very conclusive evidence that we have a right of self-defense, but the fact is that Christ, when he had the opportunity to condone or condemn self-defense, did not do so, and that speaks something to me. It adds a little bit to the whole argument. And then his words, Jesus' words in Luke 22:36, even more so, when he says, then he said to them, but now he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now, a sword is not an offensive weapon. We don't go hunting with swords. It's not, to go, when I say offensive weapon, I'm talking about a weapon that you can use to go out and feed yourself. It's not like you can make a case for a shotgun that you're using it to hunt for your family's needs, or a rifle for that matter. It's more like a pistol, which really has only defensive uses. So you could hunt with a pistol, and some people hunt boars, I know, with 44 magnums, but in general it's not the weapon of choice for hunting. The same thing with a sword. You would carry that to defend yourself. Wouldn't necessarily carry it to attack other people on an offensive manner, but you would carry it to defend yourself against those who would be predators. Some people, some Christians, have viewed this passage as being the sword of the Word of God. Matthew Henry, the great commentary, says this has nothing to do with a literal sword. It talks about carrying the Word of God with you. Talking with other people who are more theologically astute than I am, and my own reading has led me to believe this is incorrect. This is actually talking about a literal sword, and I think that's indeed what Christ is advocating, carrying something along with you to defend yourself. Likewise, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, but if any man, does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, what does that have to do with self-defense? Well, imagine if a predator comes into your home and is robbing you, and he has 6 shots in his revolver, and he's going to take you, and, you know, he's going to shoot you. Or maybe he's going to shoot your wife first. Well, you can jump in front of the gun and take the first bullet, die, and still give the guys 5 shots at your wife. So if part of provision of your family, providing for her needs, is to provide for her protection and safety, then it'd be in your best interest and her best interest to make sure that you have your own revolver loaded with 6 shots and you shoot the guy first who's about to attack and kill her, rather than just kill yourself and take a bullet. It implies in this verse that provision for our wife means that we have to be able to defend them with the force of arms. So these are the biblical passages that we can use for coming up with a theology of self-defense. And there are others that people would probably mention. But from the New Testament alone, because you don't want to use too much from the Old Testament, too many people would balk at that. From the New Testament, I think we can support the doctrine of self-defense. Now, continuing on with the question, question one, the question for the radio show, why didn't Christ and the apostles defend themselves against the Roman state? Well, I think they didn't defend themselves against the Roman state because they couldn't defend themselves. They were being overwhelmed by a superior military force, and there was no chance for them to rise up and attack the Roman army and have any chance of victory. Now, other people won't agree. They'll say, no, we would never attack the government that's ordained by God. Why could we ever attack anything like that? They're the true Tories of the day. I don't agree. I think it was just they couldn't afford to do it. They just didn't have the means to. Were they just being pragmatic or expedient? I think so. I think they didn't attack the Roman state because their goal in life, as Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:2, was to live quiet and peaceable lives. They did not want to hassle anybody, to offend anybody. The same reason that Jesus told Peter, go pull the coin out of the fish's mouth, is, lest we offend them, go and pay this tax. He wasn't worried about complying with every little rule. What he was worried about is causing grief to them so that they would bring grief on his life, such that, and that, Christ is, of course, a different circumstance, but specifically the apostles, they would not be able to carry out the task that was given to them to preach the gospel in the world. That's our main goal, not fighting governments, and therefore we submit out of pragmatism or expediency. Expediency, better word. Which of the following may a Christian properly may be properly resisted with force, even deadly force, by Christians? One, an angry Christian brother attacking you with a knife. I think so. Maybe not with deadly force, but as much as you can, you should defend yourself there. Secondly, an armed robber, other predator who enters your home in the middle of the night. Sure, I think you can defend yourself there. The local mafia, thirdly, organization that wants to shake you down for monthly contributions. Absolutely, shoot them first. Fourth, a criminal in public, for example, as you pass by a small group of thugs who are gang-raping a woman outside the bar and they turn their attention towards you in a menacing way. Pull out the .44 and shoot away if they're going to come and attack you. Fifth, the invading army of another nation. Absolutely. When the North invaded the South, they had every right reason and cause to go ahead and stand up and attack the invaders and the intruders. Sixth, the invading army of a nation that your people just declared their independence from, as was the case with England. Yes, when they declared their independence, they could have defended themselves against the mother country, even though the mother country refused to acknowledge their independence. And finally, seventh, your own state, which is extorting money from you legally and in other ways, has become a predator, maybe even violating God's law. That is the case of the American state today. Our own state is now extorting money from us and calling it legal to do so, and has become a predator against us. So you have a right as a Christian, I think, to defend yourself against all these people as a matter of biblical conviction, moral principle, and the pursuit of liberty, and all, I think, being condoned by the Word of God. Well, that's a good way to end Christian Worldview for this dreary day here in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for listening this morning. We'll see you again tomorrow on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans that need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Pizza Palace, guaranteed hot in 30 minutes or it's free. This is Mary. May I take your order?
Hi, Mary. Yes, I'd like to order.
Is this Mr. Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you for calling again, sir. I share your national identification number as 610-204-9998-45-54610. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I see you live at 736 Montrose Court, but you're calling from your cell phone. Are you at home?
I'm just leaving work, but I'm...
Oh, we can deliver to Bob's Auto Supply. That's at 175 Lincoln Avenue, yes?
No, I'm on my way home. How do you know all this stuff?
We just got wired into the system, sir.
Oh, well, I'd like to order a couple of your double meat special pizzas.
Sure thing. There'll be a new $20 charge for those, sir.
What do you mean?
Sir, the system shows me that your medical records indicate that you have high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Luckily, we have a new agreement with your national health care provider that allows us to sell you double meat pies as long as you agree to waive all future claims of liability.
What?
Do you agree, sir? You can sign the form when we deliver, but there is a charge for processing. The total is $67 even.
$67?
Well, that includes the delivery surcharge of $15 to cover the added risk to our driver of traveling through an orange zone.
I live in an orange zone?
Now you do. Looks like there was another robbery on Montrose yesterday. You could save $48 if you ordered our special Sprout Submarine Combo and picked it up yourself. Comes with tofu sticks. Those are very tasty, sir. Good value, too.
But I want double meat.
Well, I'm sure you can afford the $67, then. You just bought those tickets to Hawaii. They weren't cheap, eh? Oh, but I see you checked out the budget beach bum at the library last week. Up to you, sir.
All right. I'll get the Sprout subs.
Good choice, sir. Gotta watch that waist if you're hitting the beach, eh? 42 inches. Wow. Man, I'd say tofu and sprouts is, like, required.
That's how much?
Just between you and me, there's a $3 off coupon in this month's Total Men's Fitness magazine.